After years and years of training and effort, of blood, sweat, and tears, the competitor reaches the end of their career and hears those sweet and long sought after words, "Welcome to the Hall of Fame." It's done. The work is done. The goal has been accomplished. Who they are and what they have done will be remembered for generations. People will be able to walk down long halls with old photographs and artifacts and see their story with all the rest. Welcome to the Hall of Fame. Today in God's Word, the writer of the Hebrews puts before us a different Hall of Fame. He shows us the Hall of Faith. This hall is long, and it's lined with portraits on both sides. Each portrait is held up by a beautifully ornate golden frame. And in each portrait, you see an individual with a white robe and a crown and a radiant face, smiling back at you. As you walk down the hall, you begin to see familiar names and faces, the names and faces that you expected to see. Names like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Moses and David. These were God's champions. These were the ones who stayed faithful to the Lord to the end, who fought battles with God's standards flying high, who administered justice and led the Lord's people through the wilderness. Of course, they'd be here. But you keep walking, and less familiar and more surprising names and faces begin to show up. Names like Rahab and Samson. Rahab, she was a prostitute. And Samson, yeah, the Lord called him to be a judge over Israel, but what was always more strong than Samson's strength was his strong desire to follow anything and everything ungodly. What are they doing here? And why do they get the same treatment as the champions? I mean, look, the same frame that holds up Abraham's portrait holds up Rahab's. And the same spotlight that lights up King David lights up Samson. But then you look around and realize you're not only surrounded by the names and faces of renown, but names and faces of men, women, and children long forgotten by history, but long remembered by God. Men, women, and children from every race, every people, every nationality you can imagine, and they too have white robes. They too wear crowns. They too have radiant, smiling faces in gold, ornate frames. And that's when you see it. On top of one of the frames, etched into the gold, two words: by faith. You look at the frames next to it, and sure enough, the same two words etched on the top, by faith. You run to the very beginning, all the way back to Adam and Eve, just to make sure, and there they are, the same two words, by faith. And so you walk down the hall of faith, past millions and millions of men, women, and children, and over again, you see those same two words. By faith. It's not until you find a few more familiar names, names like John the Baptist, Mary and Joseph, Peter, James, and John, that you see a different frame. This frame is much bigger. It holds three portraits. The first is of a man on a cross, face contorted, nearing death. The middle portrait is a hillside scene. But in one of the hills, there seems to have been a cave carved into it. It used to be a tomb. We say used to be because the ceiling stone has been rolled away and the cave is empty. And on the third frame, there's that same man you saw in the first, but this time he is not dying with a contorted face. No, he still has the same nail marks in his hands and his feet, the same pierced wound in his side, but this time his face too is radiant, full of triumph and power. He is attended by angels and being greeted by millions and millions of those same smiling faces. This frame doesn't read by faith. No, there are words above each panel that say, Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And up to this point, all the faces and the eyes of all the portraits have looked down the hall. And you look and you see that all the faces from this point on look back toward this one spot. You begin to think that this is the center. This is the reason for the robes, for the crowns, for the smiles, for everything. You keep walking down the hall. Faces change, names change, styles and appearances change, but those frames stay the same. By faith. And you've walked so far now that you begin to see the end of the hall. It's getting close. But then you realize that the people in the portraits are no longer wearing white robes. Their clothes are dirty by comparison. And they don't wear the crowns anymore. Instead, they're carrying crosses. They smile, but not as brightly. They look determined, and yet they are tired and worn out. And that's when you see it. Your face and your name among the sea of frames, among the sea of faces, among the sea of crosses, in the great hall of faith. Don't say it. Don't say you don't belong here. Don't say you didn't expect to see yourself alongside of God's champions. Don't you understand? They're not here in the hall of faith because of what they conquered, because they shut the mouths of lions or escaped the sword or routed foreign armies. They're not in the hall of faith because they had something to give back to God. Didn't you see that their frames and yours are the exact same? Abraham's eyes, Moses' eyes, David's eyes, Peter's eyes, and your eyes all look to the same place. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. That was their hope, and that's your hope too. And then a voice rings out, startling you from your frame, echoing through the hall. All these millions and millions of people in white robes, who are they? And where did they come from? And that's when your eyes turn too, away from your portrait, back to the center, back to Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again, and that's where you find the answer. These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You see, when a believer dies, they leave sin behind. Death can no longer touch them, and Satan will forever be an afterthought. But there's a reason why these days are called the great tribulation, the great struggle. Because we're in the middle of it right now. And you know what the hardest part about it is? It's living with yourself. having to wake up every morning and shuffle your way to the bathroom and know when you look in the mirror, you're going to see a sinner looking back at you. A sinner who does not understand what they do. Because what they want to do, they do not do. But the evil they do not want to do, this is what they keep on doing. And so here we stand with dirty clothes and heavy crosses. We don't have the white robes. We don't have the crowns. We don't have the perfection. Yet, the white robes and the crown and the perfection, that is your future. But there's a reason why it's called the Great Tribulation, the Great Struggle. There's a reason why those who carry crosses look tired and worn out. The path home isn't easy. Many of those men, women, and children you passed along the way, they suffered much before they made it to their heavenly home. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. The people you saw in white robes, the ones with the radiant, smiling faces, they too carried crosses. They too endured hardship for the faith. And there's a temptation to put them on a pedestal, just like to put God's champions on a pedestal, as if we somehow don't belong with them. But just as the glory of God's champions didn't come in what they conquered, so too the glory of God's martyrs didn't come from what they suffered. No, our frames are all the same. From the martyr to the champion to the newly baptized baby, those same two words, by faith. Every Christian carries a cross. Every Christian endures hardship for what they believe. And so I wonder if the writer to the Hebrews had lived in this day and age and saw you, what would he write? Even though they lived in a society that had no time for what God had to say, nevertheless, they carved out time from their busy schedules and made it to worship, preferring to hear what the Lord Almighty had to say than any other source of media. And even though they were surrounded by a culture that lived and breathed materialism and that scraped for every penny, they nevertheless supported the work of the church and the proclamation of the gospel, caring more for the needs of others than their own needs. And even when the predominant moral voice of the day said, "Follow your heart," they looked at their sinful heart and its desires and they said, "No. No, I'm going to listen to the one who lived and died and rose for me." Some of them were avoided. Others of them were left out. And still others were the butt of every joke. The experts were mocking them. The unbelievers were ridiculing them. And their faith was attacked on every side. They live in the world, but they are not of the world. Instead, they admit that they are foreigners and strangers on earth. If they would have loved where they were and would have preferred this world, they would have had opportunity to live in it and be part of it. But instead, these men, women, and children of faith are looking for a country of their own. If they would have had been thinking of the past, they would have had an opportunity to return, but they're longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Today we celebrate All Saints' Day, the day we take some time and set it aside to remember those who have gone before us, those believers who have died in the Lord, or as the Apostle Paul says, who fought the good fight, who finished the race, who kept the faith. But on this All Saints' Day, we not only remember those saints triumphant who have received the crown, but we also remember the saints militant, those who still fight the good fight, those who are still running the race, and those who still keep the faith. And so celebrate, you saints. This day is for you. Stand tall. Lift your head high, because your redemption is drawing near. You walk by faith. You have been made pure and holy in the blood of the Lamb, and there now waits for you a better country, a heavenly one. And God is not ashamed to be called your God, for he has prepared a city for you. Amen.